Anyway, alright. Time to, let's focus in. Alright, so
that's about 4 minutes of nothingness.
That's what editing's for. Post production, baby. I'm like Saul, alright? I'm just call Saul. Anyway. Gotta call Saul.
I'm so happy, 'cause today I found my friends. They're in my head. I'm so ugly, but that's okay, 'cause so are you. We broke our mirrors. Sunday morning is every day for all I care. But I'm not scared. Light my candles in a daze, 'cause I found God.
This is the fourth floor. I've debated on what the title of this episode, so I'm just kind of going with the fourth floor, episode one. We're gonna call this season three, I guess, because
season three.
I guess technically.
Technically, it's
yes.
Season three.
Yeah, technically it is season three. We're welcoming in a new dynasty. I am Nick. I've been with you, ladies and gentlemen, for whatever, how many years? 2 years now.
You said 2 years.
We did just say 2 years.
You're
I am a professional. And with me is my new co-host, Christina.
Hi.
Hi. Yes.
Hi.
Yes. Try not to be so awkward when you say hi. So,
hi.
I'm not being awkward. I'm just being you.
Just being you. All right. So obviously we have a new co-host. So maybe Christina should spend some time, maybe a couple minutes, a couple seconds, however long you think is necessary.
Introducing
yourself, giving everybody a background of where you are as a gamer and as an entertainment media kind of
person.
Consumer.
Yeah. I guess that's. I'm a pretty much just play video games and you play video games. I play video games with the kids.
Yes.
Things like that.
We do have two kids.
Sort of watch a lot of movies. A lot of children's television programming. So I have a little bit more of that going on right now.
Yeah.
Not so much things that I would necessarily enjoy for myself, but at least that brings up good points of conversation, right?
Yeah, it does, actually. This is all about conversations.
We talk about Barney. Friends.
Yes. Did you see in the latest episode of Barney?
Actually, I thought we'd talk about Dragon Tales, because
I'm behind on Dragon Tales.
You are behind.
I need to start over with season one and catch up.
I thought Eli did a pretty good job, though, today with the stomping and roaring.
Yeah.
That was sort of the gist of Dragon Tales.
So, obviously, we were talking about two kids, and we're talking about them as you people already know them. Elias is our three-year-old. Your
yes.
biological son, my
yeah.
3-year-old stepson, and Osiris is our 9-month-old baby.
Yes.
And so, yeah, we're parents, and that kind of brings us into what the new, since we obviously bring in a new co-host, and we sort of listened to what a lot of people said about the show in terms of content and that kind of stuff, and have decided to kind of focus a little bit more into this family kind of 21st century situation that we find ourselves in. Media and everything that kind of goes involved with that. The fact that our kids have access to cell phones that can access TV shows.
Even the computer.
Yeah.
Eli's really good at using the computer now, suddenly.
Right. I mean, and so obviously that's going to kind of be where we kind of focus. We started a project called The Gaming Parent, and so this is going to kind of give a more in-depth, personalized kind of discussion format for those kind of topics that you will see on that. That website will be coming up hopefully by the end of the year. We haven't really kind of gotten too far on that. But
it should be before the end of the year.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be more of like a supplement as opposed to like a
regular
thing.
Yeah, this will be the primary, but that'll be a good supplement. So obviously we're gonna be covering entertainment and we're not gonna just focus on Dragon Tales and kids shows and that kind of stuff. We're gonna be focusing on like stories that you hear in the news about different types of video games. Like, I'll just throw out one that you and I had a discussion on a while back about Grand Theft Auto V selling billions of copies and making billions of dollars.
Yeah, overnight.
Overnight, and then, but them sitting there and then saying that this game's for, not for kids, it's for adults, but kids are obviously getting their hands on it.
And the marketing
right.
is geared
and,
towards
yeah.
a sort of younger crowd.
And the same thing where you look at like games like Halo, which have an M rating, that then have Lego toys attached to them and action figures and all this stuff that are toys, but they're not for kids.
Right, supposedly.
Supposedly.
Anyway.
So that'll be the kind of topics that we'll obviously be bringing up throughout the course of the show as we go on. We're gonna try and maybe bring out an episode every 2 weeks. I think that's probably what we're gonna focus on.
2 weeks is good.
Because we look at the weekly content and there's not, in terms of what we're focusing on, there's not a lot there for a weekly show. So we're gonna get you an episode out every 2 weeks, starting obviously as soon as this episode is posted, which should hopefully be within 24 hours of recording. And on top of that, I don't think you'll see much difference. You'll probably see a lot less language from the previous shows that we did with my old co-host. But other than that, we hope you guys just kind of enjoy that the show that we give you, and I hope it opens up some good conversation. So obviously now, I say a lot. We gotta work on that.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'll edit that out.
Pause.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, well, I mean, that's what I learned when because I used to have that problem as well. You sort of, instead of saying, just sort of pause. Let there be space instead of,
Oh, that's a good idea, actually. Maybe we should just keep that in. That was a good conversation. That's very useful.
I guess it could be useful.
Yeah.
I don't know. I learned it in high school and college and speech and
presentation. I took speech classes, but I guess I get worked up. I like need to slow down sometimes. But anyway, this is the section of the show where we discuss what we've been up to.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit longer on the longer side since it's been, you know, this being
a long time.
It's been a long time for you guys hearing my voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've never heard Christina's voice, so you have no idea what she's up to.
Not up to anything.
Yes. So let's see. I'm just going to give a brief, I'm going to try and be brief within the games that I've been playing. I recently beaten on New Game Plus Dark Souls. I finished that second round playthrough for the upcoming release of Dark Souls 2. I've also been working through Skyrim. I've been playing a little bit of Guardians of Middle-earth. Which is a MOBA. It's a multiplayer online battle arena.
Yeah, I haven't watched you play that too.
It's not that good. I
didn't get into it.
People like League of Legends, and I
never got into League of Legends.
I don't really see the appeal to it. To me, those kind of games encapsulate what I see as a problem with the video game entertainment industry right now, which is this very. You have to keep playing constantly in order to get a big reward.
Well, that and I think the community is already sort of set from the very beginning, and I think it's hard to get into the community to where you can be like a more elite gamer.
But not only
game.
But it's like that in other games too. It's like it's very Pavlovian in the way that they set it up nowadays, especially on these online games like Call of Duty is very much like keep shooting, 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 Okay, now you get something.
Oh, but they have to keep you playing long enough for the next one to come out.
Right.
And there's not really much content there besides.
Right, but that's what shooting. But that's what I mean. That's kind of, you know, I don't. People sit there, you know, gamers will talk about how Call of Duty is stale and the content is stale. But when I play other games in the online arena, like other than like maybe an MMO or like maybe something like Dark Souls where you're cooperating with people, and even Dark Souls in the PvP arena kind of got stale after a while. It kind of felt like the strategies were kind of already set so that there was really no change in what I was doing each time. And that's kind of what the problem is they...
But I think people feel comfortable with a certain format for games, and I think once you start stepping out of that, people, they either like it a lot, but more often than not, they're sort of going to start complaining about it being too different,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
a lot
yeah.
of times people are sort of, people don't like going out of their comfort zones.
Yeah, I know. But
so
I'm
why games are all sort of all this one sort of cookie cutter design.
They
even
have
if there's like, you know, like a new concept sort of to it, there's still this same background core design.
Right. I know, and I agree to an extent. I just think that there should be, I don't think it should be so cookie cutter anymore, but it's a business, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment. And as far as watching programs, pretty much Breaking Bad has been it.
Yeah, that's been the new like go-to must-see sort of TV entertainment for us anyway.
Yeah, as adults away from kids.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, I mean, I haven't really been doing much reading. It's hard to get reading in.
Yeah, I read a couple books, but they're sort of old.
Yeah.
Old news.
Well, and I finished reading book 5 in the Song of Fire and Ice series.
Yeah.
But A Dance with Dragons, but I mean, it's old news and there's really nothing I can say about it.
Yeah, that's not relevant.
Well, and not only that, it's not relevant, but there's a lot of the stuff that I've been up to, people already have opinions of. Like Breaking Bad, I'm not going to tell you like anything about Breaking Bad that you're not already have figured out on your own.
Yeah.
Or
but we don't really, if you think about it, though, we don't really watch TV that much anyway.
We don't really watch movies either, and I think that's something that we can maybe talk about on a later episode, about how you view the importance of new media and entertainment when you have kids versus before you had kids.
Yeah, for myself, I don't care. I'm always looking at, you know, what's new and different that's gonna have anything to do with the boys in one way or the other.
Yeah,
you know,
and I think
I
think that's a good conversation for another episode, because, you know, I come from a different place than
that. there's different things that I've been wanting to see, but just for, you know, whatever reason, I don't get around to it, and then I don't care anymore.
Right. But let's talk about that down in another episode. Why don't we hear from you now?
What have I been up to?
Yeah, I've played
some video games, mostly Skyrim lately. I was stuck on Lego games for a little while.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with the Lego games.
They were kind of fun. What else was I playing? What was I playing before Skyrim? I felt like I was putting a lot of time into. I guess it was Legos, wasn't it?
It was Legos, because we had Lego Harry Potter 5-7.
And we had Lego Batman.
Lego Batman.
No, but I feel like I was playing something more,
SSX?
I did play that a little bit. Yeah, I guess I haven't really been playing a whole lot of games. I'm really enjoying Skyrim, though. Just don't get a lot of playtime.
No.
With it.
Yeah.
I guess that sort of is because I'm not entirely comfortable playing it all the time around Eli, you know.
Right, and that's fine. It's that's actually good, because that actually is a good segue into what we wanted to talk about next, which was what the media is, what we consider the media.
Yeah.
Each of us, I mean, as an introductory kind of episode, I think this is a good kind of line of conversation to have. And you know, to me, media is pretty much all-encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
We are even part of media, this whole show that we're doing.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
It's everything. Media is everything that you take as input that comes from either a paper or electronic source.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, us having a conversation at a
Starbucks is not media.
Right. Well, no, media is usually...
Yeah.
Reaches an audience.
Yeah, printed that reaches an audience.
Yeah.
Or printed or reaches an audience.
Through, or audio.
Yeah.
Radio.
Yeah. And, you know, how that affects me, or at least how I see it, is that, you know, and I kind of learned this from a from an introduction to media class. I don't remember what the exact class was called, but we were basically in class learning about, you know, you have different needs that each marketer is pretty much trying to get you. And that's what media ultimately does, is gets you to buy a product. Whether or not you're buying, in this case, you're not really buying anything. You're listening for our information. And then obviously our goal would then to be to, if at some point, to make money. I mean, we're not going to hide the fact that at some point we would like this to turn into some kind of endeavor.
Yeah, you want it to be lucrative.
Right.
Otherwise, what's the point of putting the work for it, I guess, right?
So obviously you have newspapers, and this is the best way it was explained to me. You have a newspaper, right? And in the newspaper you have, you know, your news stories. This is blah, blah, blah. At Johannesburg, Virginia, whatever this event happened. But then you have a full-page spread on a car dealership.
Yeah.
So, you know, and all their ads.
Right.
So, on one hand, the consumer gives the money to the newspaper to purchase the newspaper. But the money that you're giving the newspaper is not as important as the money that the car salesman is giving the newspaper.
Well, yeah.
The newspaper itself is actually selling ads for these people.
Right.
And that's the best way I've heard media explain.
Yeah.
You're not actually buying that media. You're reading that media and you're reading that information, but you're actually buying the advertisements.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what everything is. I mean, if you look at movies with product placement,
mm-hmm.
and then not only magazines or
radio, yeah, it's
all those are about selling advertisements.
Even television shows, even though we said that we don't really watch TV.
Right, but that's what it all is. It's all about selling advertisements. Then conversely, on the other side, on the flip side, say you're reading a book. There's no advertisements in a book. Maybe the author throws in, you know, the character was drinking a Coke.
Right.
But
that's still rare.
That's rare. They don't normally say that because they're trying to be elaborate with their descriptions and that kind of stuff. But they're selling you still a certain idea.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they're not selling you directly an advertisement, they're still selling you ideas. They're still selling you basically obey, listen, buy, and that kind of stuff. That's the goal.
Well, ideals. They're definitely advertising ideals.
Right.
But that, I think that also is why certain books and movies and video games, certain media is definitely more popular and more prominent, you know, during certain times. You know, sometimes some media is definitely geared towards people because they're in a certain sort of place. I don't know, say, for example, during the recession, you might see particular kinds of media. You know, you might see more superheroes. You might see people spending less money, you know.
Right.
In the media.
Well, I mean,
but they still want you to spend money. So
right.
They're advertising, you know, instead of spending your money here, spend your money here. And you feel like you're
doing what you're supposed to do,
I guess.
I think you can say the prime example of what you just pointed out is Macklemore and that song Thrift Shop.
Right.
Here's a guy who's making millions, hands over foot, off of selling you the idea that it's okay to go shop at a thrift store and be poor.
Not even okay. Cool to do it.
Right.
I think it's beyond it just being okay.
Right. Because
it's not about it being acceptable, but it's cool. Look at how cool I am. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm the hip dude.
Right. But I don't think necessarily that those who reined in on that message, the people who then sat there and, you know, the radio producers and the TV producers who then said, this is a message we want, were necessarily telling him this is what they wanted. I think they just kind of heard the song.
Oh, you know, it just happened.
And just went, we can make this work for what's going on in today's time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think everything is as engineered as a lot of people think, but I do think that a lot of things are very convenient, especially because we live in a consumer society.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What was decided upon to be consumed, or what they want to be consumed, is decided upon. I don't think necessarily those who are creating.
Oh, yeah, no.
I don't think at the individual creation level that this is something that's like, happening purposely. No. Like I don't think they're purposely filling your heads with these ideas. I think it's just
not the creators.
But the record producers and those.
They specifically choose certain things for certain reasons. I mean, their end goal, just like anybody else's who's in any kind of business, their end goal is to make money. So they're gonna do whatever they can to make money. They don't really care, I don't think, even necessarily about what the message is or what it's gonna make people do, unless it has to do with them spending money on things that they want them to buy.
Right, and I think, you know, I'm gonna use an example from a game that I forgot I mentioned, I just beat recently, Bioshock Infinite. When Bioshock Infinite was being passed around to all the magazines and all the internet sites for previews and that kind of stuff, you heard a lot of talk about these two different ideals, these two different factions that were battling it out. And in essence, what it was you had the socialist workers versus the conservative Americans, I would suppose. But what ends up happening, and this is heading into spoiler territory, so I'm sorry if you haven't played it, what ends up happening is that you end up just kind of fighting both. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they sold it on this idea that they're going to paradise these two factions, and it kind of was like, oh, look, we're playing into, like, the political effects of America today. But what ended up happening was that you kind of just ended up being involved. It wasn't like, I didn't feel like there was any reason to, like, either side, and I guess that's kind of what they were saying, but it was also kind of like, I don't know, I feel bad for the socialists, but now they don't like my character, so now I'm just going to kill them anyway, because for whatever reason, my character is, you know what I mean? It just seemed like they didn't really ever drive any point with what they were doing. Like, it seemed like they were going for this whole idea, but they didn't go with it. They just kind of, like, held it back. They reined it in. And kind of made it this, like, mess of just kind of ideas. Mm-hmm. And they grandized it, but it just turned into a mess. It was just, I don't know, there's a lot of stuff that you see like that. You know, like the fact that the remake of Red Dawn had to get changed in post-production. It was originally supposed to be Chinese who were invading the United States. The Chinese said, we're not going to show this movie in our country. So they then changed it to North Korea.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
We'll meet again. Don't know where. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
No labels, logos, or images referred to as materials herein from www.real4floor.com or www.therealfourthfloor.com or any website owned, operated, licensed, or controlled by LD3 Productions may be copied, reproduced, republished, uploaded, posted, transmitted, or distributed in any way, except that you may download one copy of the materials on any single computer for your personal, non-commercial home use only, provided you keep intact all copyright and other intellectual property rights. Modifications of the materials or use of the materials for any other purpose is a violation of the Real Fourth Floor, The Fourth Floor, and LD3 Productions, LLC.
That's the kind of thing that happens that people don't realize in the media entertainment industry, is that they sell you on ideas that this is going to be something that could be truthful, but then they kind of pull the wool over your eyes and are like, yeah, no, it's not.
Well, they have to be careful too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a huge difference between what the creator envisions and then what ends up actually on your plate. Well, yeah. You know, for lack of better words.
Yeah. I mean, from what I've learned from independent recording artists, you know, is that when you sign up with a label, you may have had all these songs before, but now it's theirs.
Right.
And they're going to edit it the way they want to edit it, and they're gonna put the beat that they want to put to it,
right.
And they're going to put their own words to it.
And then after that, they probably tell you what you should be saying.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, but, and how that affects us as parents, though, is that we have to be constantly, I don't want to say on guard,
I think so. Yeah, definitely.
But we have to start teaching children what the media is telling them. Because I remember, you're not that much younger than I am. Remember when parents used to say, oh, if it's in the news, it's accurate.
Right.
It's true.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now many people don't even believe that anymore.
No, I definitely think that mainstream news, anyway, for the most part, mainstream news doesn't really hold very much water for people who have grown up and are in our generation now. I think maybe older people probably still hold some value in, you know, the news. And even then, maybe not so much because of the internet and all of these different sources where you can gather news from independent sources to, you know, obviously like Fox and CNN and all of those kinds of things. But the news has become junk news. I truly feel like the vast majority of mainstream media, and I've said it before, is just, it's junk food for your brain. It's all just junk. It's entertainment, yeah. And I'm not going to sit here and demonize it when I definitely consume vast amounts of it, but at the same time, it's junk.
Right.
It's garbage.
Right, but that's what we have to try and teach. I guess we have to try and teach children that too.
Yeah, specifically because our children.
I think far too often what we're seeing in society is that people, because they've been told for so long that everything you see in the news is real, that has passed on from generation to generation, and it's like this cycle we can't get out of now. And now that we have these 24-hour news sites and even websites and TV channels and all this stuff where you have to have content constantly in order to maintain viewership, that you're now seeing these rise in tragedies because tragedy has to come from somewhere. I don't think that necessarily the number of tragedies that we're seeing is on the increase.
Oh yeah, no.
I think because the news channels are driven by ratings during those events, that they then go focus on them. I mean, Anderson Cooper is pretty much a tornado chaser, except for it's whenever somebody gets shot or a disaster hits Haiti or anything like that.
Well, and then keep in mind, not only do they have to provide constant, you know, media updates, but then they also have to make sure that it's something that people are going to pay attention to. So not only do you have to keep your shock value high, you know, and so you, like you said, he has to essentially chase tornadoes, but then there has to be an overabundance of it. So yeah, I think that's also something to be sort of careful about when teaching your children about what the world really feels like when you see these kinds of stories on the news and the world looks like a really dangerous, scary place, when really these are all just, you know, to garner viewers and attention. They're really just, you know,
yeah,
for nothing more than to make sure that you keep spending money.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think as well that kind of works for art as well. And
yeah.
I think this is kind of an important conversation to have in this sort of introductory episode, is what exactly defines art. Because obviously, you know, if you go to the internet, it's pretty much X, Y, and Z. Art is anything that's created by humans. You know, a skilled trade, anything like that is considered art. Then you have the problem, though, that art, you know, some people don't believe that art should ever be censored, you know?
Well, I don't think that art should ever be censored, no. I don't agree with that. I think that's up to the individual to then decide for him or herself what is appropriate and on down the line. I don't think it's fair to censor people, not even just art.
Well,
I don't think anything should be censored.
Well, I think censor is a little bit... I think I'm using the wrong word with censor. What I mean is that art should have no limit.
But there is. I guess we have to talk about how you view art and how I view art.
Yeah, why don't you talk about how you view art.
How I view art is very much like you explained the definition. And anything can be an art. There can be an art, you know, like we said the other day, there's the art of war, there's the art of anything. But if you're talking about fine arts, or like, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, visual arts, or if you want to talk about, you know, performing arts and those kinds of things, or, you know, if you're speaking about video games, should those kinds of things have a limit? Well, no, I still don't agree that they should have a limit. I think it's up to the individual to decide what his or her limit is, and then further on, you know, whether you have kids or whoever you think shouldn't be involved in whatever this creation is, you should figure that out for yourself. But I don't think that creators should be limited in their, because essentially what it is, you know, your work. Your work is your art, you know?
Right. I mean, I agree to an extent, but you're using the word art to define everything. I view art, I guess the best way I can explain it is this. I view art as having two different things. You have entertainment, which I don't believe has a lot of intrinsic artistic value. Does that make sense, artistic?
Well, not to me, because okay. but that's because we have different
right.
opinions.
Yeah,
to me,
my idea of art is that it's something that should move you.
Well, but what moves you might not move me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, or something that could be something that could trigger, you know, a flood of emotions for one person may do absolutely nothing for somebody else.
That's true.
You know, like, say we're talking about, you know, movies, per se, you know, somebody, and that's, again, based on personal experiences, something that may be very important to one person and then trigger, you know, some sort of response, which may or may not have been the intent of the artist, may not do the same thing for somebody else.
Well, that's true. But I mean, I guess what it is that I view stuff like, say, the Avengers, and I view that and I go, okay, that's a movie about superheroes
right.
beating up bad guys, and sure, there might be, like, you know, subtle subtexts that, you know, internet forums can debate over, you know, what all this symbolism is behind it.
Right.
Like, you know, I read an article on cracked.com the other day about how X2 is all about gay rights.
Right.
That doesn't, just because you look into something to find artistic value, to me, doesn't mean that there is. You know,
but that's, I think that's where we fundamentally disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Because the whole end goal of art is to evoke a response. And if it does for even just one person, how does that then invalidate it as art if even only one person thought that that was art? You see what I'm saying? I don't think you can invalidate anybody's work just because it may not.
I'm not saying it invalidates it. I'm wondering. The question would be: is there an art? Is there a value to certain art?
Well, but there is. But I think only. But I think for certain people, just like. I mean, for example, I loathe country music. I detest it. I think it's junk. There's nothing about country music that I think is appealing. There's nothing about country music that I think is anything positive.
Look, Billy Ray Cyrus was just a part of Iggy Breaking Heart 2.
You're right. I take that back.
Yeah.
His new music video is fantastic.
Yeah.
Now that is true art.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, if you look at that, somebody looks at that and says, that's really cool. That's really awesome. I really like that. I, on the other hand, think it's disgusting garbage. But that doesn't make it not art. You know what I mean? That
yeah.
doesn't make it not an art, unfortunately, in my own opinion.
All right. So then I'm gonna throw a curveball. This is something I had never brought up in any of these conversations. So in video games, all right, because this is where this whole art kind of debate really kind of like lies. I think on movies, you and I kind of agree that movies have intrinsic value regardless of whether or not you view it as
right.
as valuable. Same with books
right.
and music. That right. can all be kind of video games. This is where it gets interesting. So you have, in video games, you have two different levels. of interactivity.
Right.
You have the creators who are writing a story and then a world for a player to enter into that story.
Right.
Then you have the player who inputs the commands to the avatar on screen. In certain situations, what your character does on screen may or may not fit in with that story.
Right.
For example, Red Dead Redemption. Right. John Marston is supposed to be a character who is out to end his violent ways. Within 5 minutes of loading up that game, I can go into a town and just shoot the town up.
Right. Or like Grand Theft Auto. I think that's another...
Well, Grand Theft Auto is like that in essence. But in Grand Theft Auto, you're never tricked into believing you're playing a character who's innocent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're not told that your character's innocent in Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
Maybe in some of the other stories, your character's innocent, but they were guilty beforehand, and this is the only way out.
Right.
They at least kind of write that in to that, to allow that mayhem kind of to make at least
some
thematic sense.
Right.
But in Red Dead Redemption, your character literally is John Marston, a guy who wants to end his violent ways, and the game opens up with him being killed by his old gang because he goes against this whole violent lifestyle
right.
that they have. So then within 5 minutes of you being a lawful, law-abiding citizen, you can walk into town, shoot the place up, and then go pay off your bounty down the line.
Right.
You instantly disconnect from the original artistic intention of that piece.
I mean... But I think that's too open to interpretation, because if that were the case, then would they not have forced you to play more on rails then? And maybe the whole goal was to give you that choice, to maybe make your character not so on rails, maybe to, you know, allow you the freedom to sort of write your own story, even though they do sort of provide a, you know, a backdrop, I guess, for what you're supposed to kind of be doing.
Right.
Maybe they want you to sort of have that freedom.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, and yeah, that is what they want. That's because that's Rockstar's kind of style, which is provide you with a sandbox, and they really wanted to do something with the Wild West.
Right.
And I think when they were coming up with ideas, they were looking at spaghetti westerns and this kind of stuff and going, okay, it's always about some guy who was a bad guy who
right.
now comes in and saves the town.
Right.
And how can we incorporate that into a sandbox? I just think that when you start inputting a character, inputting a secondary person, like thought pattern into that, you kind of cloud your artistic vision a little bit. Because
okay.
you have to kind of fit into that idea. You know what I mean?
But that's the whole crux of making video games, though, is that when you create this video game, unless you create a video game where the character can only do what you want them to do, which I'm sure, you know, there's many of those, I think we call them side-scrollers.
Yeah.
No, but, like, seriously, unless you're creating a game where the character can and only will do specifically what you designed them to do throughout the entirety of the game, then part of your artistic vision is for them to have that freedom to create, whether that's to create aspects of their character or to create, you know, different aspects of the world that they, you know, inhabit,
mm-hmm.
if that's, you know, including other NPCs or if you're whatever, maybe if it's a multiplayer type of a game, to create that sort of space with other people, maybe that is part of their artistic vision. I sort of hazard to guess that if it was otherwise, they would have...
Yeah. They would
created
have
a different design.
They would have eliminated that option.
Yeah, or they wouldn't. Right, they wouldn't allow those things to happen if they wanted you to play a certain way. Because you're right, there is that artistic vision, but I think that they. So I think maybe part of some of the joy of creating these new games where players have this sort of space is to see what they come up with within the world that you've created. You know what I mean?
Right.
I guess almost in a sort of playing God kind of a way, you sort of see where players' choices and where their own creativity leads them, but all the while within your own
right.
created
well,
world.
I mean, yeah, I'm glad you said that because that made me think of The Walking Dead Season 1 when we played that last year.
Right.
And... the depth of choice that they had to account for.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially each episode was coming down to like 3 to 5 major choices.
Right.
But they were
all heavy, crazy choices.
Right. And it was all those other choices that you were making along the way that kind of influenced, as a player, your choice at those turning points.
Well, yeah, because it sort of made you, I think in our own, in our own minds, we were not necessarily playing as ourselves, but playing as how we would play that character. What would this character do in this situation? How would we see this character doing that in this situation? Well,
and I think what's great is what you mentioned, too, is the fact that then Telltale Games is, at the end, telling you, you made this choice along with 45% of the other players at the same time.
Right.
Or only 23%.
Right.
And you start seeing, like, and they're cataloging all these choices.
Right. And I don't think that has to be some of that, I think, is just, I mean, how awesome is that, though? Like, to create a game where you can see that the majority of people are making this kind of a choice. Maybe you thought it would have been something else, or, you know what I mean, to see that. But then on top of it, that's also a fantastic way to get people's input to create another game.
Well,
what better way?
Well, I mean, think about it, too. The Walking Dead is episodic content on top of that.
Exactly.
So you have a release of one episode. And then maybe a couple months later, you have a release of episode 2.
Right.
And all the while, you're then taking into consideration all these choices that people made.
You're cataloging all of that input to influence,
your kind of
future games.
It's almost like a choose-your-own-adventure kind of thing. And I think as players and as consumers, that excites us.
Oh, well, yeah, definitely.
Because we don't view video games as movies.
No.
And I think that's kind of what the point of this whole conversation is.
And
is that
I think a lot of people view, I know a lot of people, when they play video games, a lot of times that is an extension of yourself.
Right.
You know?
But not only that, I've heard people, and I don't know if you've ever heard this, some people have said, I ignore the cutscenes in video games. I just skip them and go right to the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's interesting to hear stuff like that as someone who's grown up as a gamer, where like the cutscenes were like,
yeah, that's like the most important part. Like, that's your story.
Like, especially
that's...
when like growing up as like a PlayStation gamer, like where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm finally gonna get away from these blocky graphics and I'm gonna get to see
something
cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
But you know, I think the freedom, and I think that's why games like Skyrim have been so successful. And other games like that.
Yeah, like these open world, these new sort of open world games.
Yeah, it's because players have finally said, look, I want to do.
Well, and I think that has to do with technology, too. I mean, in previous years, that wasn't even possible,
right.
You know? I mean, these days, there's so much more
technology. No, it wasn't possible, and I think people have started... I don't know necessarily if people have started coming away from movies more and more. But I have heard, like...
No, I think they have a bit.
Yeah, I think video games have kind of slowly started inching into that spot.
Yeah,
don't really remember the last time a large group of people were excited for movie.
Not any, like, sort of run-of-the-mill. Like, the last movie I can really think of is, like, you know, The Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter. Like,
right,
those
but
are
those were all,
that,
like, series that were, like, based on, like, books that
had
been
around for
and had been wildly successful. I mean, like, I guess we have the new Marvel Cinematic Universe,
and even those people aren't that excited about. I mean, they are, but it's kind of like, why spend all this money and do all this to go to a movie? I can just wait and catch it on Netflix later. You know what I mean? That's kind of how people are thinking. Most people don't want to.
And not only that, but then it's a 2-hour experience, whereas then video games, you have the. And especially in an open world game, I mean, I've heard this debate numerous times too, is that you have the experience of, I can put 200 hours into this for my money,
right?
And that, and or I can only put 4 hours into this for the same amount,
right?
And I think with video game, I think movies are starting to kind of suffer from that, and that's why we're starting to see this sort of emergence into these universes, because that way it becomes all connected. It's not just a separate viewing.
No, and it's an immersive sort of... It's an immersive environment, not just something you're sort of looking at and playing. It's something that you're really involved in.
Right.
Something that you've invested a lot of time and effort
into. I don't want to just keep using the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it's the one that's that's kind of, I think, starting this trend towards what we're going to see more of, because even DC's kind of picked up on it now.
Yeah.
And I imagine we're going to start seeing more now that Disney has the Star Wars licenses and that kind of stuff. But you're seeing what is happening is, okay, you saw Iron Man, and you saw Captain America, and you saw Thor. Now you got to go watch the Avengers.
Right.
Okay, we left the Avengers
Superman.
On a now we left the Avengers on a cliffhanger. Now you got to go watch Iron Man 2 and Thor 2 and Captain America 2.
I mean, they're trying, but I still don't think that it's really bringing as much attention as they would like to see.
Well, I mean, it is though. The Marvel Cinematic Universe alone has made more money than any other film series in history.
Hmm. There's also many are there though?
Let's see. There's Iron Man 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Thor 1 and 2. These are the just ones that have released. The first Captain America and Avengers.
Okay.
Now you have the second Captain America coming out this year. You have Guardians of the Galaxy coming out this year. You have another then you have Avengers 2 coming out the year after that.
So it's like a good 10 movies.
Oh, there's. Are you kidding me? If you were just to get the movies that are released, you would have Iron Man 1, 2, and 3. There's 3. This is all that have been released so far. Thor 1, Thor 2, Captain America, and the Avengers. There's 7 movies already that have been released. And not including The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton.
Right.
If you want to kind of tie that in as well, which they have kind of finagled around.
Right.
Then you also have the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is a television show.
But if you think about
that
it,
you now have to watch.
Even still, though, those are like the only. I mean, it sounds to me that there's not really a whole lot outside of that that's really, you know, like gaining people's like attention to really bring them to the theaters.
I mean, what's bringing them to the theaters is the fact that you had a spectacle with the Avengers.
Right.
You had something that had really not been done as successfully
outside of even that, the whole Marvel Universe. I mean, just talking about movies in general.
Well, I mean, no, but movies in general, these series have kind of always been like one-shot things. Like, you had the Matrix trilogy.
Right, yeah.
Which then it fizzled.
Yeah.
And then you had the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And even the Hobbit trilogy that they're trying to do is not working. It's not working.
The first one was awful.
And then you had the original Star Wars trilogy. And then you had the Star Wars prequel trilogy. Movies kind of always have been wrapped around the big iconic series have always been kind of wrapped around trilogies.
Yeah.
What Marvel has now said instead was, we're going to do this.
Oh, they're just going to keep bringing them out?
The Avengers, I believe, is supposed to be a trilogy. It's supposed to be planned. There's supposed to be Avengers 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
So, all the while, they're introducing new characters in these movies.
Right.
That you have to then go see Iron Man 3 because it introduces this character that will play a part in this movie.
Right.
And they're all kind of, like, tying them together so that when Avengers 2 comes out, they're using, like, the Avengers as, like, bookends.
Yeah, I got
you. So, you have, like, you have Iron Man 1 and 2, Thor and Captain America, and the Incredible Hulk, and then you have Avengers.
Right.
Then you have Iron Man 3, Thor 2 The Dark World, Captain America Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, then Avengers 2.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and then you have the Ant-Man movie.
But are people really that into it? I guess, I'm unaware. I wasn't aware.
I mean, I guess because I am, like, into that kind of community.
Right.
But not only is it like just like that core community of like gaming nerds and that kind of stuff. It's even like friends who are like get excited. They're like, "Oh my god, I went to go see this movie."
Right.
You know what I mean? And
I mean, I guess I don't know. I wasn't even impressed. I wasn't even that impressed with the Avengers.
Right.
I stopped at that, and don't get me started on Iron Man and that travesty.
Right, but I mean, I think to tie it back into what we were talking about so we can start wrapping up the episode, is that movies have to adapt at this point.
Yeah.
Because video games are offering...
But I don't think... I mean, movies will be around for a while, but I don't think movies are going to ever... Movies will never be what they were, and I think video games are definitely... beginning to sort of fill that gap, that entertainment gap.
Especially considering, too, I mean, and think about this as well, with the video games are filling that gap. Video games are becoming not only cheaper and more
cost effective, but they're becoming easier to navigate for all ages.
Right.
And they're becoming easily accessible.
They're easier to make, too. People who are developing them, it's becoming easier to develop.
My computer from 2004 can still play World of Warcraft.
Right.
All the way up to the latest edition, no problem.
Yeah.
That's a game that has been out forever, granted. Before
right.
my computer was produced, it was made. But that's the point. I can go to goodoldgames.com and download classic video games on this computer that will run perfectly on this computer.
Or even like the two, the Steam came out with a console, there's a couple of other like independent like consoles coming out, so video games are becoming like the mainstream thing
these days. As our kids grow up, we have to figure out how we navigate this world, because they have video games everywhere now.
Yeah.
It used to be, as a kid, your mobile gaming device was a Game Boy.
Right.
Now it's, I bought you a phone, but you have access to all kinds of games.
Right, and not just games, but information.
Right, information, but yeah, and I think that's kind of what this show is going to start focusing on, the fourth floor in general, is we're going to start focusing on that. It's just this kind of, exactly what we just talked about.
Information overload.
This information overload that we were able to go on a... I think when I last checked the time, it was that we were at 39 minutes. It's now 52. We talked for 13 minutes about the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how they have implemented that into a way of you coming to the movie theater because you have to see the next part.
Right.
And that's kind of what this whole thing is about. This is what it is about, raising children in an extent where they are constantly fed, you have to have this now, because
right.
the internet makes it so that everything has to happen now.
Right.
And when we were growing up, we could avoid maybe seeing The Matrix for a couple months, because who's going to talk about it?
Right.
Your friends at school.
Right.
You can't do that anymore. It has to be now.
Yeah.
It has to be now. And if you want to talk about something online, it has to be what's happening then. You can't talk about the past online. You can, but you have to be in a certain, you have to be in that network.
That's sort of what, that sort of goes back to the whole news and the whole entertainment, the whole media, the way I described it as junk food is because it's sort of, everything is now sort of a fast food sort of mentality. Just like you said, everything has to be now. It has to be brand new. It has to be fresh. It has to be different. You know what I mean? And not only that, but it has to be exciting. You know what I mean? And that exciting bit is the scary part to me, because it seems like, you know, the sort of topics are becoming, like, increasingly risque even, you know, and things that were not so appropriate for us, or even weren't so appropriate for me as a kid. Sometimes I look at what I'm watching, I'm like, yeah, I guess my kids can watch that. That's not that bad. But then I go back and think about it, and I'm like, there's no way I would have been watching this at that age.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Edward Scissorhands?
Right, Edward Scissorhands, yeah. But, you know,
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, I didn't watch Nightmare Before Christmas until I was almost like middle school age.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think necessarily because of the content and me finding it scary, but that just wasn't appropriate by my parents' standards for whatever, you know, whatever their reasons were.
Yeah, and, you know, there is always that, you know, it's the one argument I hate more than anything when it comes to parents talking about new entertainment, and it's like, oh, what did you guys listen to when you were kids? And it's like, we listened to Nirvana. And it's like, yeah, to an extent, yeah, I can see why you would be like, okay, so you listen to a bunch of drug addicts cry and talk about how they hate themselves.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's definitely music that, like, my parents listen to that I think back on now. I'm like, wow, geez, really, Mom? You listen to that with me in the car? But I get,
like Prince?
Yeah, or, like, you know, Salt and Pepper.
Yeah,
like,
like, but that's what I mean. It's funny that as parents we see new things and we go, ugh.
Right.
But the one thing I will always say is that, and this is a great internet meme that people should look up. You have like Beyonce's like one song, I forget what that's all the like single ladies or whatever,
right.
And it's written by like six people, and literally the lyrics like repeat themselves over and over again, and then it puts it up next to like Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, which was written by one person, and it's like this epic like story of like a man's descent into like madness and crime, and all the single ladies is her dancing, and that's who we idolize, is like her dancing, telling everybody, you need to put a ring on my finger if you want to get with me.
Right.
Yeah, I can see, yes, to an extent, what musicians sang about was different. Yeah, it is not that different, but the way that it was done,
yeah,
and produced.
Definitely, like I just said, that Salt and Pepper was like a, that was sort of like a, one of the first like strong female sort of, you know, hip-hop kind of artist, so I can sort of see from like my mom's standpoint, like on something like that, that was like, you know, a strong female, whether or not it was like entirely appropriate, it's a little bit different, but yeah, I don't know, you just have to be...
I think you may just have to kind of explain to children,
right,
what they're consuming.
And I think that's the big thing for me as well, is if something that I can explain to him and he's not, you know, obviously afraid, then I feel like many times that's sort of an opportunity to teach him. You know what I mean? Obviously, I'm not sitting here teaching him about, like, you know, overly adult sort of situations,
right,
or anything like that, but, like, something like, you know, death or crime or, you know, things like that that are just part of, you know, human existence and just the human condition, I think that we shy away from, and, like, we decide that there's some point, you know, that a child reaches, that now it's okay to talk about death, and now it's okay to talk about crime. Like, I don't think that that point ever actually exists. And I think that, you know, the way it's sort of depicted may sort of influence my decision as to whether or not it's okay to watch, but the content itself, more often than not, is sort of just something we can then talk
it's
about.
It's kind of the same content and everything, and, you know, I agree exactly with what you said, which is, the content isn't necessarily the issue, it's the way it's presented.
Right.
And I think right now that we're going to, I think that's probably going to be a good stopping point for today.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so this was...
Hooray,
episode one is done. thank you for listening. Again, I'm Nick.
I'm Christina.
And we'll see you around 2 weeks from now. See you guys.